It's episode 73 of Thunder After Dark, but it's also episode Lock On Celtics. We're crossing over. I have no idea what podcast is this for you. I'm Fred Katz for the Locked On Thunder, or Locked On, I'm still saying Locked On Thunder. Locked On Celtics listeners don't know.
I don't know what number it is either.
You're Jay King.
It's just a great number. Whatever number it is, it's a great one.
As many episodes as the Celtics has retired numbers. That's...
Yeah, and I can tell you this, we've never had an episode after the Celtics came back from 5 points in the final 16 seconds.
6 points in the final 24.7. I saw someone screenshot a tweet. I can't verify if it was real. Looked real. That's really all I care about journalistically. That's the only thing that matters to me. The Fox Sports Oklahoma Twitter account tweeted out that the game was locked in.
Ooh.
Like with like even the emoji lock too. Ooh. And showed a screenshot when the Thunder were up 6 with 24.7 seconds left. They lost, by the way. The Thunder lost 100-99. They were up 6 points. They missed a lot of free throws, 4 free throws in the last minute, and ended up losing this game.
Yeah.
And they should have won for a lot of different reasons.
The free throws stand out as the most obvious reason. Russell Westbrook missed one. Carmelo Anthony missed two. When, as Brad Stevens said, when's the last time you saw that happen?
Yeah, even Melo said after the game, like, he expects to make those. Like, what's he going to do? I mean, 8.4 seconds left in the game, the Thunder up 99-97, and Melo's at the line. Like, he's got to make one.
He's got to make one.
You think he's going to make
one? I mean, the Celtics are praying for him to just make one. They weren't even thinking he could miss two.
Yeah.
And then it happens, and the Celtics come back wild, kind of broken play.
Did I intro you to my listeners?
I'm Jay King from MassLive.com, the Celtics beat writer for MassLive.com. I'm here with Fred Katz.
Terrible podcasting.
From what? The Norman Transcript.
Yeah. Thanks for remembering.
Yeah, the Norman Transcript.
I really appreciate that. It's very kind of you.
So, yeah.
Marcus Morris, you want to talk Marcus Morris's game winner?
We started
on the negative.
Wild play. Celtics drew up one play. Jason Tatum completely botched it. He totally forgot the play. And if you watch the replay, you can see him and Al Horford both running to the same exact spot. And then Tatum kind of improvises, and he's like, oh, I'll just flare into the wing. And they found him, and he made a great play. Found Morris. Morris still needed to hit a tough, tough shot. Up faked Paul George, hit a leaner. It was kind of the perfect Marcus Morris shot. Would have been a little more perfect if it was mid-range, because Mook loves the mid-range jumpers. But the three-pointer... kind of a wild, wild shot. It was basically the only way Marcus Morris could have hit a game winner, because that's how Marcus Morris does it, man. Like, twisting, leaning shots that don't really look like high percentage shots, but then he makes them sometimes.
It's kind of funny, because there are two guys in the league who, when I watch them play, I'm like, those guys definitely grew up really liking Melo. One of them is Tobias Harris. Like, I watched Tobias Harris play, I'm like, that guy definitely, I don't even need to ask him, like, there's a 100% chance that guy really liked Carmelo Anthony growing up, no question. And the other guy is Marcus Morris. I watched him, I'm like, that dude definitely liked Melo growing up. And you can just tell. And it's funny that the game came down to Melo missing a couple of free throws, and then Morris hitting that crazy step back fade away. Steven Adams said after the game, in the most Steven Adams way possible, that he stuck on Al Horford too long because Horford was kind of drifting over on the right wing, drifting a little bit left there, and then Adams said he stuck on him too long and should have realized the time and closed out harder on Morris. I don't know, I thought the closeout was like kind of okay. Like, it was off balance shot.
And the shot went in with 1.2 seconds left. So there was still time for Morris to find Horford. Not that Morris is very likely to pass in that situation, but there was still time. Like, if
Melo, such a Melo thing, by the way. Such a thing you'd say about Melo.
He was definitely a big Melo fan. Jason Tatum, also a Carmelo fan. Big Carmelo, big Paul George fan. So he had fun out there.
I think nothing of Jason Tatum's judgment. Purely because of his affinity for St. Louis pizza.
That's fair. But
okay. Do you realize that St. Louis pizza is like... super thin, like cardboard crust.
I can't let you get on a crossover podcast with the Locked On Celtics podcast and be so blasphemous about St. Louis. I've never had it, but Jason Tatum likes it.
It's provolone instead of mozzarella. Have you ever bit into a slice of pizza and been like, you know what the problem is here? Who wants mozzarella?
Maybe more people should be eating provolone in a pizza if Jason Tatum does it.
No one's ever said that. Yeah, but Jason, no one's ever said that. I can't trust Jason Tatum's judgment for anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, he did say he likes Katy Perry more than pizza.
Because he likes St. Louis pizza. If you like real pizza, he'd pick the pizza.
Yeah, so that, for those listening and wondering what the hell we're talking about, there was a Jumbotron segment where Jason Tatum had to pick just random things, really. It was an NCAA tournament bracket filled with totally random things with no context whatsoever. He ended up picking a shower as his favorite thing of a whole... It was like 16 different things.
Never clarified if it was like a place where you wash yourself or just like a baby shower.
Yeah, he was. He also revealed that he had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles poster when he was at Duke.
Good tidbit.
But he no longer has it. He's grown up now. He's no longer a teenager, 20 years old, making big plays in an NBA game.
He's great.
No longer has
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He's so talented.
Yeah, that step back he hit over Corey Brewer was kind of special.
Yeah, he's an amazing shooter. Like, it's the shooting numbers on him for a rookie are just absurd. Like, I had no idea he was going to be able to shoot like this right off the bat.
I don't think anybody did. And then what's been impressive about him, too, is recently is that the Celtics, you know, they're down Kyrie. They're down Jaylen Brown. They're down a lot of guys they rely on for big point totals, down Marcus Smart, a lot of playmakers. And Tatum has kind of stepped into that role. Four of his last five games, he's had at least 19 points. He had 23, was it, today?
Oh, 23 on 12 shots.
23 today on 12 shots. And
did a really good job getting into the paint.
Yeah, and with Paul George guarding you, that's a tough 23. Like, that is not an easy 23. The Thunder have a lot of good defenders. And so...
And Paul George had a lot of really nice things to say about him after the game.
Yeah, he was gushing about Tatum after the game. Said he just looks like a star, doesn't look like a rookie. So I kind of tend to agree.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. I mean, he's already really good, and he's going to be an awesome two-way player. Like, he's going to be an all-star. This rookie class, man, like, he's not even one of the two best rookies this year, probably.
But yeah, I mean... Of the draft class, I think he's one of the two best. But then you put Simmons and Mitchell ahead of him. Yeah, and I mean, they're in different situations. I think what's neat about this recent stretch is it shows what Tatum would have been in a lottery system, because the Celtics have so many guys down and they're missing so much talent that Tatum just kind of gets to rock out. And, like, would he have averaged 20 for a lottery team? I don't know. He wouldn't have had the same efficiency numbers. But you're seeing him kind of stretch his game lately, and he's just done some fun things. Like, they're putting the ball in his hands. He's creating and pick and rolls. He's crossing over Corey Brewer and almost devastating Corey Brewer's ankles. So it was another impressive Jason Tatum game. And he's done it. I mean, to do it against the Thunder and Paul George especially, like, that's impressive.
Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, he was more like one of the only signs of offense in this game for like three
quarters. It was ugly, wasn't it?
Yeah, for like how long? Let me do the whole game?
Until like, what, 6 minutes left?
Yeah, I was going to say for like 40 minutes. Because the Thunder had like a nice stretch for like, from like the 5 minute marker on. Like, Paul George hit a three.
Yeah.
Melo hit a couple of threes. Then on the next possession.
Brewer in the corner.
Well, the Brewer in the corner three, everything about that possession was so shocking. That was when Brewer hit the corner three deck.
Melo with a great pass. Great cross-court pass.
Well, that's the thing. So, like, Melo early in the game is getting, like Shimmy Ogilvy on him. And is just taking him in the post, even though Ogilvy is, like, ginormous. and they're just going, like, they're playing mismatch basketball. And one of the problems with the Thunder is, like, early in the game, Russ is just trying to say, like, okay, mismatch basketball, let's go. And one of the problems, and like Royce talked about this on our other podcast, OKC Dream Team yesterday.
I like that plug.
Really good plug. Really natural. Really, really good way to go. That's me playing mismatch podcasting.
Yeah.
But like Royce talked about it, and it was a great point. It was like, because there's a stat, like the Thunder are, either 7-0 or 8-0 when Steven Adams gets more shots than Carmelo Anthony, and all of those wins are over against teams currently over 500. And what does that say? Because it probably says something, and one of the things that Royce talks about is, like, when they go up against teams, and the Celtics are obviously a ridiculously good team, but they're so shorthanded tonight. Like, no Kyrie, and no Marcus Smart, and no Jalen Brown, and
Jimmy Ojeley combined to go 1-for-13.
Yeah, and they're shorthanded, and the Thunder approach this game as like a game they should win based on talent.
Yeah.
Which it is a game they should have won based on talent. And they go into it with like, okay, let's get Melo's buckets, let's get Paul George's buckets, and they kind of get away from what they do. And I think part of it was that like the Celtics very clearly on pick and rolls with Adams, they tried to do that really early, the Thunder did. The Celtics were pulling guys off of Corey Brewer, and they were helping and making it really difficult to get the ball to Steven Adams, which is something that the Thunder had so much success with against Toronto on Sunday. And when they're winning games, they really are running just Russ Adams pick and roll over and over again and killing teams with that. And the Celtics did a really good job defending that schematically. No surprise. But they ended up going to, like, Melo in the post. And on that play where he finds Corey Brewer, I'm like, oh, God. Melo's up against the... He's got a Horford in isolation on the right wing. He's going to take him into the post, like this great defender. He's not. He's going to shoot a 12-foot fadeaway, and he turns around and he makes a great pass to Brewer in the right corner, and Brewer ends up hitting the three, and it's like none of those things that actually happened. Brewer was 0-for-5 from three at the time. None of them were things that you thought were going to happen. And they all happened, and that's when you're like, okay, I guess... They're going to win the 7th.
I thought that was it there.
Yeah.
Especially the way the Celtics had played offense most of the game. That was it. That was all she wrote. And then it wasn't. The Celtics have had some wild finishes. Like, they have ruined my recap so many times. the Wizards game in double overtime the other night, that was just like...
What a game.
How the hell do you write about that? And then tonight, like, I literally... There are 2,000 words that never saw the light of day. I just deleted so much of that recap tonight.
I can relate so much. I had a whole game story about that Melo post up and how nothing you thought was going to happen, and like relating it to how the Thunder didn't play well but still won. Nothing you thought was going to happen on that play that happened, and then I was like, well, literally none of this is relevant anymore.
Yep.
Let's write about free throws. The Thunder have not been good at free throws all year. They're 29th in the league in free throw percentage.
That's wild. But still, if Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony go to the line for two apiece.
Russ is having his worst free throw season of his career, though. He's at like 74%.
Yeah.
Which is not horrible on the whole, still pretty good. I mean, you should still hit your free throws in those situations. But it's a weird part of Russ's weird kind of semi-inconsistent season by his standards.
Yeah, I thought the Thunder kind of screwed up earlier in the game. Like, the Celtics had so many turnovers. They had 18 turnovers in the first three quarters. They had 12 in the first half. And the Thunder never really got a comfortable lead. They were up 8 at the end of the first quarter. They just didn't score enough early. And I guess that can be credited to the Celtics. But, like, there was a stretch when Nader was missing shot after shot and kind of pummeling his own team's offense. And the Thunder didn't really take advantage of that. And it was an ugly game for a while, man. It was
so ugly. There was no pace to it.
Nothing.
Thunder weren't really getting on the wrong. And it was weird because they had such a great pace against Toronto. I mean, they just played like an unbelievable offensive game against Toronto.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. I'm not that worried. They've been playing really good basketball. Like, today they didn't play well. And kind of everything went wrong for them to lose a game. I don't really know how much it means, but they did not play an impressive game tonight.
Yeah. And the Celtics muck things up. The Celtics definitely muck things up against everybody. And especially when you're an ISO, like, an ISO team, the Celtics have a lot of guys who can switch. And like you said, with Carmelo Anthony, he tries to ISO. Well, the Celtics, they switch like from Tatum to Ojeley to Horford, and it's like, where's the mismatch? There's really not much of a mismatch. Yeah. Even they sometimes got away with like Terry Rozier switching onto Carmelo, which in the old days Carmelo would have just
so
mutilated
fast,
him.
By the way, I didn't realize quite how fast he was until tonight. When Russell Westbrook got the ball on a break and it was just him and Rozier. And Rozier was backpedaling and stayed in front of Westbrook, who was, like, as fast as anybody in the NBA. And I was like, whoa. Like, he is crazy quick.
Nobody does that. And then the other electric foot race was between Greg Monroe and Paul George, which might have been the play of the game. That was at least my favorite play. So Greg Monroe got a steal and had a little bit of a head start. It wasn't a huge head start. Like, it was a pretty sizable head start, I guess.
I thought
for sure Paul George was going to catch up to him and piece his shot off the glass or, like, steal the ball from him, or Greg Monroe was going to dribble off his foot or something. Instead, Monroe finishes the and one, gets Paul George's fifth foul with 8 minutes left, which was a big deal.
And it wasn't a good foul on PG.
Yeah, and the goaltend, too. It was a rough sequence for PG. Like, he got beat in a foot race by Greg Monroe.
You know what's another thing with this game? So I wrote an article, like, 3 days ago.
Another plug. That was nice.
No, this actually isn't a plug because I don't want anyone to see this. I wrote a thing like 3 days ago or 4 days ago or whatever on Billy Donovan against the Clippers on Friday when they played and the Thunder won that game. And Billy seemed to kind of not necessarily set a rotation, because Billy Donovan will never set a rotation. He just plays different guys all the time.
Yeah.
Like, Houston didn't get until the fourth quarter tonight, and he just throws guys in the fourth quarter. But how Billy Donovan didn't necessarily pick his guys, but he's at least starting to limit lineups throughout a game. He'd only played like 8 different lineups or something in a game, which is very few. Especially for him, and like, maybe that's a way that he's cutting down on the all bench stuff and all that. And I just was like, couldn't be more wrong. Just went right back to all the other stuff after, like, no pieces until the fourth today. I'm like, he goes back and forth on Abrines all the time. Sometimes he gets minutes, sometimes he doesn't. On a game like tonight, when you want to be able to get some catch and shoot, like, when they're pulling off of guys to help on Adams in when he's rolling hard and that kind of stuff, and Corey Brewer's not hitting shots, like, I just wonder what happens if you play Abrines with the starting unit. Like, you put Abrines in that corner instead of Corey Brewer. Are there that many guys who are just going to kill you if you have Abrines out there instead of Corey Brewer on the other end? Like, obviously, Brewer is a better defensive player, and I'm not arguing for no minutes for Corey Brewer. I'm just arguing for, like, maybe 13 for Abrines instead of 4, and like 27 for Brewer, and you can redistribute along the other way.
Yeah.
Like, I just wonder, and this is a hindsight thing, I don't think it's worth like killing anybody over, but it felt like an Abrines night, and it wasn't one. And Billy gets away from him a lot, and I think for them to hit their ceiling, like, Abrines is the best shooter on the team. Like, in order for them to hit their ceiling, they need Alex Abrines to hit his ceiling, and they've given him no opportunity to hit his ceiling. He's an incredible spot-up shooter, and they don't use him.
And today they could have used space, too. Like, it was a game where there was no space for anybody. It was one of those games where, like, both teams were just kind of choking each other out.
Yeah.
Like, both teams were suffocated. It was gross. One shot that I thought was big was Shane Larkin's three at the end of the third quarter. He hit like a desperation heave, and it was after Russ had gone off a little bit in the third quarter. He'd had 12 points, and he'd kind of gotten his rhythm a little bit, and seemed like the Thunder were ready to put some distance between them and the Celtics. And Larkin hit a three to cut the deficit from 5-2 entering the fourth quarter, and then there was like an offensive stalemate for a while. Nobody really scored. And then the Greg Monroe foot race, the great foot race of 2018. Fucking Usain Bolt Monroe out there. I enjoyed that way too much. That was probably my favorite play of the season. But
you know, it was one of my favorite moments of the season. You weren't there for it.
I'm sorry.
Can we talk about Russell Westbrook's post game availability?
We can talk about Russell Westbrook's post game availability, which was brilliant. I did catch up with it on Twitter.
Did you watch the video?
It was painful. Painful.
It's one of those awkward experiences. So sometimes with Russell, you're just like, well, I'm punting. Like, you realize
right away that he's not gonna.
Yeah, he's like, because like some people think like it's bad questions. People were tweeting me. It's like, well, you ask bad questions. It's like, hey, no one asked like really a bad question there. It's just like when a dude decides he doesn't want to answer, he's not gonna answer. And with Russell, it's like, next level on that. He took almost an hour and a half to talk to us, and then gave us this look when he was coming up, like we were wasting so much of his time as we stood there for an hour and a half waiting to talk to him. Put on his hood specifically for, so the hood that he's wearing, for people who have seen it, he's wearing this like silver jacket with a like a fur hood. He put it on specifically.
Nice hood.
I mean, I'm sure it's a ridiculously nice jacket. He put it on though specifically for media availability. And as soon as he was done with his minute 15 second availability, he took it off. He bent over and unzipped and
now he does what he wants, man.
In the middle.
Now he does what he wants.
If you're playing the Russell Westbrook drinking game, like there were so many. You got the one word answer in there. Got the I don't watch other teams answer in there. It was great.
What'd you think of his last shot? They couldn't have really done too much else.
No, I mean I thought the play was typical Billy Donovan. Unlike last second plays, you know. Russell Westbrook is coming off either, he's coming off some kind of curl, screen, stagger screen, some sort of pin down, and he's going to come up to the top of the key, and he's going to get the ball somewhere around that left side of the court. And he's going to be able to put up a shot from there. I didn't realize he had enough time to catch the ball, hesitate, dribble, and then get off a shot. According to the play-by-play data, that shot counted. So I was surprised by that. I thought he might not get it off in time for the buzzer. He clearly had the clock awareness to be able to do that, which I actually thought was really smart on his part to be able to get a little bit closer, which I didn't think he was going to be able to do. And it was a pretty good look.
Yeah, I mean, he got clean.
It was a really
look.
Hard shot. He got 1.2 seconds. Like, it was really.
Yeah,
really
at that point,
shot.
You're just hoping for a shot that has a chance of going in.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. It did.
Yeah. I mean, people. Thunder fans are difficult to please because Billy Donovan gets killed for his extra time outplays and stuff. And the Thunder have, like, the, according to Synergy, the last time I checked was a few games ago, but they had, like, the fifth best offense in the NBA after timeouts. They're really good after timeouts.
Yeah.
Billy Donovan normally draws up pretty good plays. And a lot of them, he loves like, curl actions for Westbrook on those end-of-game plays. And it's often that with, like, maybe Melo flaring to the corner or something like that. That's often what it is. Celtics did a good job taking stuff away.
They're tough in those moments because they're really long and they can switch screens.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter who ends up on the guy who gets the ball, it's going to be long and they're going to be right there because they didn't have to go through screens. They just switched and they were there. So they're really tough to score on in short second situations because of all the length and size they have. Like, they have Horford out there. They have Tatum. They have Morris. They just have long, switchable, interchangeable guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they make things tough. So I thought it was actually, like, they did pretty well to get that shot. It just at that point, you've got to make a special type of play to win the game. And
yeah, it doesn't matter how guarded you are. Like, with 1.2 seconds left, it's a hard shot.
Yeah, almost always you're going to take, like, a long, contested shot.
Yeah.
And what can they do? They should have made their damn free throws.
Not everyone can be Marcus Morris.
This is true. What a shot. What a shot.
Here's the thing. Like,
he had a great game. Great game from
Marcus
Morris.
He played very well. And that was a ridiculous shot.
Yeah.
Like, after all this, like, Rozier's shot was ridiculous.
Yep.
Just this off the dribble, off balance. Like, if those guys take those threes 10 times...
Yeah.
I mean, it's a ridiculously stupid comment because no one shoots 50% from three.
I mean, what was...
But, like, those are ridiculously difficult shots.
There was a stat ESPN tweeted tonight that was... that said teams down 5 with less than 20 seconds left were 0-800-something this season. So it was the first... win all season in that situation. Let me get the exact stat right now.
Let's live podcast Google.
That is, the Celtics trailed by 5 with 16.8 seconds to go in 1. Entering today, teams were 0-884 this season when trailing by 5 or more points in the final 20 seconds.
That's bad.
0-884. Like, they had no chance. It was impossible for them to win, but Marcus Morris doesn't believe in impossibilities.
That's the exact way we should have.
Okay, we're
unless you have something else.
No, I think that's where I peaked right there.
Do you want to tell my list, because we're running this on your podcast and on my podcast?
Yeah. So
tell my listeners about your podcast.
Yeah, we have the only daily Celtics podcast Monday through Friday. We have the greatest Celtics podcast ever created. And if you want to subscribe to us, search for Locked On Celtics wherever you find your podcast, iTunes, Spotify, wherever.
And I bet a lot of my listeners are familiar with Locked On, because I bet you I have some people who carried on from when I did Locked On Thunder. Minus Thunder After Dark, by the way.
There you go.
For Celtics fans who were just dying to pay for a Thunder podcast, Thunder After Dark, 82 episodes in the regular season. You can sign up, $2 a month, patreon.com/ThunderAfterDark. $2 a month for post-game shows, and we'll carry into the postseason, and then we'll see what happens.
$2 a month for Fred Katz is really a good deal.
I only make you pay one, though.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Let's end it there.
Sounds like I'm hitting on you. All right. Yeah. We're over.
Take care, you all. Listen to us, please.